Watch out, Jaden, you're outnumbered. Two girls. Good to have you all here this morning, it really is. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at the last two verses of that chapter as a jumping off point. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, tell us this information, give us this information. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We are all under authority of some kind, whether it be a mate, husband or wife, a government, or a business associate. We are all under some kind of authority. Most of us who are gathered here this morning are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have submitted to that authority of His, and we surrendered our will to Jesus at the time that we accepted Him as our Savior and were saved. Jesus gave us many commands and rules for us to follow, because we are the children of God. That established the authority of Jesus Christ over our lives. Question: is your life still under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? You and I have to want to submit to what we are told in the Word. And we are given a piece of information in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, where John told us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ are one and the same. The Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ are one and the same. That's what the Bible tells us. There is no difference. What applies to one applies to the other. Now, my first wife and I came to Charleston 11 years ago to visit our youngest son, Brian. We did that in August of 2014. November 1st will be my 11th year. 4 years as interim pastor, and 7 years as your senior pastor. 11 years of Sunday school. 11 years of 3 services a week. Have you grown? Have you changed during that time? Have you submitted to the authority of God's Word completely during that time? What I want us to consider this morning is our relationship with God. I want us to judge ourselves and see if we are where we're supposed to be. We're instructed to do this from time to time by the Word of God. I mentioned that in Sunday school this morning. I wasn't sure which message it was in. It was in this morning's. I didn't realize that. 1 Corinthians 11:31. 1 Corinthians 11:31 is an important verse. It tells us, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." But we're given other instructions in other locations in the Word. We are told to judge righteous judgment. In other words, don't overlook little minor faults, as we tend to do. "Oh, I'm better than this person. I don't do that. Wrong. I do other things that they don't do." When's the last time that you judged yourself? How did that judgment come? I can't say anything about your judgment, but my judgment didn't come out the way that I really would like to have had it do. I was not completely happy about what I observed in my own life. It was not so much about the sins of commission, but it was about the sins of omission. Things that I was not doing that God has said that I should do. That's what really bothered me. It was the sins of omission that caused me to blush before God. There have been times when I just didn't have a desire to do what God wanted me to do at that time. As a servant of the Lord, I've been called, commissioned as a missionary, educated, ordained, and spent many years proclaiming the gospel, and that has earned me exactly 0 brownie points. It's what I have personally done for the Lord that really matters. And there's a portion of my life that I maybe have not really surrendered. And you may find yourself in that very same place, that there are things in your life going on where God is not in control of those things because you think you are. Well, I've given the Lord a good bit of my life, but there have been a few times that I've tried to do things without considering what He might want me doing, and many of those times, I've gotten it wrong. Let me ask each of you a question. How much authority does God's Word have in the everyday decisions that you make? How much authority does the Word of God have in your everyday decisions? Now, each of you who has the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've been born again. You have the Holy Spirit within your soul somewhere. And He wants to guide you. Now, every day you are making decisions. And as you make those decisions, He wants to speak to you. "Well, that was a good decision. You shouldn't be doing that." And God really wants to have that much control over your life. Simple little things that you might do, that I do, might be things that God has said we're not to do. Jesus was very clear in his ministry to his disciples and to his people, and we're his people. He said there were certain things that we were not to do. And you know what? I do some of those things. Well, not intentionally, not with any malice. But I'm just busy living my life, and you might be the same way. I went into the bedroom last night, and I thought, what am I going to wear for church? Is that a sin? If God said, I'm not supposed to do that, it is. Hey, wait a minute. What if I thought about, what am I supposed to have for breakfast? Or what am I going to eat for breakfast tomorrow? Somewhere I read in the Bible, and maybe you have read it too, take no thought for the mark. What you shall eat or what you shall wear. For sufficient thereof is the evil of the day. Now people, we are all doing things every day that are not what God said we are supposed to. We're not taking God into consideration. We're not putting him the focus of our life. Little thing. And there's nothing wrong with those things other than God is dead. Don't do it. I saw on the news this morning, I was watching people talking about some of the people in our government and how they were responding to different world situations. And someone asked our president what he would do in such a thing, what they should do, and he had a one-word reply, don't. And they showed all the people in the federal government that were saying, giving that one reply to every question they were being asked, don't, don't, don't. You know, I finally came to a point when I surrendered my life and I started for the altar wondering how I would tell my wife about a decision I made in 1987. My wife and my two boys. God might call on you and ask you to do something for him. There's nobody too old. There's nobody too young. There's nobody exempt from God's call. You are there, and he wants to use you. And he may call you. I was sitting in a missions conference in 1987, and I had taken my family in a lot of different directions. And as I sat there in that missions conference, God was calling me. And I want you to stop doing what you're doing right now. Become a missionary. And I thought, how in the world will I tell my wife? How will I tell my sons? We were both in college at that time. And I argued with the Lord, as maybe you are doing in your own hearts. And I argued with the Lord, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to tell him. And finally, God won the argument, and I got out of the pew and went forward. Found my wife already. If God calls you, he's going to call your mate. God does not call people alone if they already have an obligation. Marriage, relationships. God is going to, if he calls you, he's going to call your mate or your partner. He will not call you away from them. That's against his word. So you be sure, if God calls you, go ahead and answer. You're not alone. What has God done since, in my life, since 1987? God has a special way of caring for his servants. If he calls you, whoever you are, to whatever he calls you, he's going to provide in ways that are inexplicable. He will meet all of your needs. Even if you think he can't or won't, he will use you to serve him in ways that you might think you are not prepared for, because you either don't have the abilities or the education or the experience. But God's going to give you whatever you need to serve him. God is going to give you whatever you need to serve him. He is not going to call you and leave you stranded someplace. God will use people in your life to meet needs you don't know you have. Some people you may not ever even know. But once you do get to know them, you'll understand that they are God's people and God has sent them. If you will let God move you and provide for you, he will do so by blessing you and putting you where he can bless you. Now, the situation may not look pleasing, but God will change that. And if he doesn't change the situation, he'll change your heart, that you will be willing to receive it and accept it. I can assure you, by the Word of God, that there are enough promises in the Word of God to take care of anything you might experience. If you and your mate have responded to the leading of the Lord to serve him, he will bless your love for one another, and he will use you both in ways that assure that you are where he wants you to be. You will be busy, but you will be supernaturally blessed. And you will have what God wants you to have. I've seen God do things that are impossible. Impossible. I've seen him provide a new car when it was needed. I have seen God send in someone to provide unimaginable finances for the ministry's needs, because they were needs. If you've not ever read the biography, how many have ever read the biography of George Mueller? Oh, people. Go to the library if you have a library card. If you don't, tell me and I will get a copy of George Mueller's biography. George Mueller was a fantastic man. God called him to help orphans in England. And so George Mueller never, ever asked a man to help him in any way. He only asked God. And so George Mueller asked God, I want to help orphans. I need a place for them to live. God provided a house. And then God provided a second house next door. And then God provided a third house next door. And George Mueller took in these orphans. And they got up one morning for breakfast. And he didn't have anything for breakfast for the orphans. But he got them all up, and he got them all seated at the table, asked their blessing, said grace, and it was a knock at the door. And he opened the door, and there was a milkman there, and he had broken down with his cart, and he needed to unload some of the weight off his cart, so he gave him several cases of milk. And behind the milkman was another man standing there, and he was a baker. He had overbaked, gave him bread. And before people all left, George Mueller had breakfast for all the kids. And he hadn't asked a single man. He had simply asked God. He said, God, these are your children. You take care of them. And God can do that, people. Is there anything impossible for God? No. God wants you to be a part of his ministry to people. So if you've never read George Mueller's biography, let me know and I'll get you a copy of it. It's worth reading. There was a day when George Mueller wanted more kids and more room. And before it was all over, George Mueller worked in Bristol, England. And before it was all over, he had buildings and facilities for 10,000 kids. Now, God did that. George Mueller didn't do that. George Mueller just asked God. And God was able to do that. What do you need? What do you want to do for God? What are you willing to do for God? God loves you. God loves every one of you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are God's child, and he wants to use you. If God called you, do you think he would not take care of you? Sure he would. People, I'm over 80 years old. I've seen God do this for people for over 60 years. Call people and take them to some weird places. But he always provided for them. He always took care of them. Now, I know we started out talking about the authority of God's word. Do you believe that God has authority over you? Do you believe that God has authority over you? Do you believe that the word of God has authority over your life? It wasn't until I came to the spiritual position that I could place my faith and be willing to submit to God totally and willing to search the Word for His plan for me, that my relationship with God changed. And He will do the same thing for you if you will take the time to submit. If you will tell God, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Show me. And then you reach into the Word. You start with. He'll show you. Now, there's one thing I want to caution you about right now, because I've seen this happen. God's servant never leaves a mess in order to serve God. Sometimes people mess up their lives or they get into problems or situations. They say, well, I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to become a servant of God. And they abandon whatever the thing is. God will not use you that way. God doesn't work that way. God expects His servant to take care of all the business decently and in order. That's from 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's a command from God to you, to all of us. If anything in your life is messed up, then you're not doing something according to God's word. Let me translate that little short verse of 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's the Greek version. A modern day English version translation would read like this. Let everything be done appropriately and on. Let everything be done appropriately and on time. That's decently and in order. In order means on time. Now, God uses tribulation or difficulties to help us grow. And there are times when we have nothing to do with making the mess. Usually it's a mess we've made by violating some scriptural principle. But there are times when God lets tribulation come into our lives because He wants to grow us. He wants to make us stronger. He wants to show us that we can overcome the tribulation or the problem. I like reading through the Pauline epistles because of all the doctrine that is given in his writings. And if we get out from under the teaching of scriptures, we can expect trouble. Now, I know that Job didn't do anything to bring the problems on that he had. God permitted the devil to test Job because he was such an example to all the people that were around him. But I don't think that any of us are like Job. I don't think God necessarily has to prove us. It may be more like God is reproving us for things that we have done, for failing to be faithful, to do the things that He has asked us to do, of following the leading of the Holy Spirit, or for following the instructions in His Word. So once again, we're back to submitting to the authority of God. So let's think about this for the next couple of minutes. God created the universe, and he owns everything. He owns everything. You don't own anything. It's not your car, that's God's car. It's not your house, that's God's house. It's not your refrigerator. It's God's refrigerator. It's not your food. It's God's food, and that's why you thank him for it before you eat it. Everything you have, God has given you for your benefit or for the benefit of others. When you and I became his children, everything that God has became available to us. I believe the problem comes when we violate what God has told us in his word. Sometimes he tells us that what we are getting ready to do is not according to his will. Other times we find out for ourselves that if we take certain actions, there are consequences to those actions. Sometimes there are consequences that we don't like, but we don't get a choice. God has said, you do this, I'm going to do that. And he does. Many times, these actions on our part involve money and principles about using it. Many times, the Bible says a lot about money. And we're very poor readers and listeners. We're told in the Proverbs by Solomon that if we borrow money from anyone, that we become their slave until the money is paid back. Do you know what Paul told us in the New Testament about money? I really don't know when we began to go astray, but I know that we did. Paul told us one very explicit thing about money. Are you ready to hear it? God's the one who said it, because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's Romans 13, 7 and 8. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And then this next verse. Owe no man anything, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Sometimes, when a preacher is preaching, you don't know it, but he's preaching at himself. And he doesn't want you to know that. I must confess, I'm guilty of violating. Sometimes we get into binds and self-made situations that cause us tribulation. The frustrating thing is that it's usually self-induced. People, it just requires discipline to work our way out of the situation. I came to a conclusion this week. The conclusion is, life would be so wonderful if we did everything God has told us to do? Think about that. Think about God's authority and our rebelliousness. If we would do what God wants us to do, life would be pretty wonderful. Father, we know you want the very best for each one of us. And so, Father, we are trying to do what you want done. But Father, we are weak creatures.